a televised briefing this morning. England's Chief Medical Officer, Professor Chris Whitty, and the Chief Scientific Advisor, Sir Patrick Vallance, will draw on data from countries like Spain and from France, which are experiencing a second surge, just to underline how their experience could be replicated in the UK if we don't change things. The government's new rules will ban separate households from meeting each other at home or in private gardens. Pubs and restaurants could possibly shut early as well. The measures have been welcomed by political leaders locally, but businesses say they're just really disappointed that they've had to be introduced. Dr. Tom Fletcher is a senior clinical lecturer at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. Dr. Tom, thanks for being with us once again. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
How will these new restrictions help to stop this continued growth in the spread of the virus, do you think? Because we have the mask, we have the social distancing, we have the hand gels, and generally people are sticking to that. Has it not worked?
Well, it's difficult, isn't it? I think, as you highlight, those are three key principles and areas that have certainly reduced transmission. But I think, you know, it's obvious to everybody nationally and also those of us in Liverpool and the Northwest that it hasn't worked 100%. And that's why we're seeing a lot more cases, you know, in the community. And we're also seeing that in hospital too. So unfortunately, you know, the top result of that is people getting really sick and being admitted to hospital. Mm. And we're certainly seeing that in Liverpool now too. So these new measures, you know, are certainly aimed at trying to reduce community transmission. So to stop the virus spreading from family to family or person to person in the community. And I must say, I think they're welcome.
A circuit break, it's been described as, that would happen for what, maybe two or 3 weeks where we go into lockdown. Is that enough, do you think?
It's hard to say, isn't it? I think, you know, most of us recognise that the last lockdown was pretty restrictive and difficult for a number of people, but it certainly worked in terms of reducing the numbers of transmission. But, you know, the virus didn't go away. It was still there, and it was probably, most of us thought, only a matter of time until we got a next wave such as this. You know, I think if it's considered as part of a number of measures to try and stop this rapid increase that we're seeing, then again, it may help. 2 weeks is not particularly long, but it's that balance that the government has in terms of economy and everything else in limiting how long you can sort of lock people down again.
Yeah. We look at the graphs and we see Spain on the up there with cases, and what necessarily follows is hospital admissions have started to increase in Spain, the same in France. However, when we look at Belgium, their trend has started to go down. And I'm guessing this is what the government will say today. They will say, well, look at Belgium. They put these restrictions in place and it's taken a downturn there.
You're right. But I think we all sort of should remember from the first time after the restrictions are put in place, it actually takes a reasonable period of time, you know, up to 2 to 3 weeks at least, before you start to see a change in those numbers, because the virus is circulating, it's incubating in people, and it takes a while until those have an effect. But I think, you know, your first point, that we've seen what's happening in Spain, and we saw this last time. Mm. So we were able to watch countries in Europe go through a pretty torrid time in Spain and France, and then we followed that, you know, at least as bad or if not worse in some circumstances. So I think we need to take note of that and then put in place these measures.
There have been people who've been scratching their heads over the past few weeks, you know, when these announcements are made, you know, but they're coming in a week's time, or, you know, you will be fined in at the end of September, or we're going to close this, that and the other a week on Tuesday. I mean, if it, you know, and we saw people actually say, well, if it's that serious, why don't you close it tonight or tomorrow? Why are you waiting for a week or two to bring these measures in?
I agree, to be honest. I think that is challenging, that if you say, if these are needed, let's get them in place as soon as possible. I guess there's a practical consideration that people have to be given due warning for businesses and other things to close and manage that. But I sort of agree, if you make that decision, let's get it in place as soon as possible.
It's a vaccine, isn't it? This is what we're hanging on for, because we like to think, you know, we have a certain amount of control on what we can do as members of the public, you know, with washing our hands and the distancing and the face covering. But it's here. Coronavirus is here. It is not going away until we get a vaccine.
You're right. So a lot of science, a lot of research. It's one thing the UK has done particularly well, and in Liverpool, you know, we've led the way in some areas. It's actually a great contribution towards the evaluation and trialing of a number of new vaccines. But you're right. So we need a vaccine to help protect us. You know, we need better diagnostics, so better rapid tests to be able to know quickly when or when we haven't got this infection. And then lastly, we need better treatment. So that's clear. If you get this infection, we need to try and stop that virus pretty early and stop you getting sick.
Tom, we know a hell of a lot more about this virus and what to do and how to treat than we knew back in at the end of March and April. I mean, that has to be a plus, doesn't it?
It does. It's a huge amount. And I think the pace of learning and the pace of science has been remarkable during that period compared to bits of information that were starting in January and February. But there's still a lot more to learn. So I don't think that process is finished. And fundamentally, we need these three things. We need a vaccine. We need rapid tests to try and diagnose it. And we need better treatments.
Tell me about Agile, Tom. You're running a clinical trial at the moment. I know we talked about this briefly in the past, but just refresh our memories on this.
That's right. So Agile is a clinical trial that's great in terms of it's being run by Liverpool, by the University of Liverpool, the Tropical School where I work, and the University, the University Hospital Trust in Liverpool, also supported by Southampton. And what it's aimed to do is quite simple. We need better treatments, and actually we need brand new treatments for this disease. And so what it's doing is bringing through these new treatments aimed at trying to treat people really early. So we know by the time people get sick and they end up in hospital, that's generally into the second week of illness. And by that stage, it's quite difficult to treat them. They're quite unwell. What we aim to do is to treat them really early with either a tablet or maybe an injection. You know, as soon as we find out they've got this virus and stop those vulnerable patients getting more sick.
And you're looking for people to take part in this still?
We are. So the first drug is a tablet that we're using across Liverpool, and people can read that on www.agiletrial.net. And we've got the first group of people into that trial now. But we'll continue on recruiting up to about 200 patients, hopefully, in Liverpool and the Northwest to try and show us this early tablet makes a difference in stopping people getting sick and getting admitted to hospital.
And we need people to come forward. Otherwise, we can't find a vaccine without people stepping forward. It's just impossible to do.
Of course, you know, we need people to sort of recognise, you know, we're in this mess and we need to sort of contribute to science to help us get out of it, you know, both for the vaccine studies, but also for the trials such as Agile. And therefore, you know, as part of our trial, we're looking for patients currently who are in a more vulnerable group, who are 50 or 60, you know, with comorbidities. And they can phone us up actually in the first 5 days of symptoms. We'll get them in, confirm they've got it, and then hopefully start them on treatment very quickly.
Right. We saw a couple of weeks ago the Oxford trial was paused because there was a person who had an adverse effect to it. This is not unusual, is it? This is why we do trials. I mean, it's carried on now. You know, things were checked and put in place and now it's carried on. But people really shouldn't be alarmed by that. That's part of the natural process of the trial, I presume.
Of course. You know, whenever anything new like a vaccine or a treatment is introduced, one of the key things is to make sure that it's safe. And that's why, you know, the trialists and the researchers such as myself, it's so intense in the way that we look after participants in the trial to try and identify any of these early problems and then manage them quickly. And as you're right, you know, the national body met after that episode with the vaccine trial and decided it was safe to continue.
How do we get in touch if we would like to take part and we'd like to help out and be one of the contributors to finding this new vaccine? Because we will. It might take us a little time, but we're going to get there, aren't we?
You're right. So the vaccine recruitment is done by a slightly different team for me, and that often goes out across social media or from the School of Tropical Medicines or universities' websites saying they're looking for participants to enter into a vaccine trial. That's often people who are well and we're trying to prevent them getting infection. For Agile, it's slightly different. We want people who are unwell with this disease, who've had a test, and then we want to get them onto treatment. And they can find that contact details on our agiletrial.net website.
OK. Dr. Tom, thanks for your time this morning as ever. Really appreciate you coming on and no doubt we'll be talking in the future as well. Thank you.
No pleasure. Take care.
Dr. Tom Fletcher, Senior Clinical Lecturer at the Liverpool School of tropical medicine. Interesting point that he makes there. You know, we can't find a vaccine without people coming forward.
Yeah.
Because how do you try it?
And what I can understand people maybe being a bit hesitant or whatever, but what an incredible thing to be part of if you were able to somehow help towards there being a cure for this.
Yeah, exactly. Incredible. That. Exactly that. Do get in touch. It's called Agile Trials as well. Just look it up. And thanks to Dr. Tom, as I say, Senior Clinical Lecturer at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. Just turned 8:15.